Owning an investment property can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Heritage Realty Property Management, they handle the challenges for you, ensure it's rented, maintained, and gets the highest return possible, while you just collect the check. With over 50 years' experience, you can trust Heritage Realty to provide the property care you want and rental knowledge you need. Visit heritagerealtyknox.com to connect with the team more landlords trust. Heritage Realty. We treat your property as if it were our own.
All right, 6:02 for your Thursday, May 26th starting lineup. Nice little drizzle outside your window this morning. Make sure you get your final destination safe and sound. He's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Can't appreciate you this morning as he brings us in here at 656-9900 on the Stanley Fincing and Gates Hotline. So much for us to dive into. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Also, Tennessee baseball does not get on the diamond yesterday at Hoover. And believe it or not, only two games were completed yesterday in the state of Alabama. You didn't know this? Let's get you in the know right now. This is the Morning Buzz here on the starting lineup. Will West, good morning to you. It was a wet one yesterday at Hoover Met Stadium. They were able to squeeze in Kentucky 3-1 over Auburn. And another upset is the 11 seed Alabama wins back-to-back days. They knock off number 3 Arkansas 4-3. So only two games played yesterday in Alabama. Both upsets. Both were close contests. And now they're going to see if today is the day they can actually start maybe running a marathon and getting as many of these games in as possible down at the SEC tournament.
It's supposed to rain today as well. It does look like in the afternoon. Things are going to kind of taper off a little bit. So that is the hope. But I will say, if you're looking for information on how this is going to go, hit our Facebook page up. Yeah. Vince Ferrar has done a fantastic job kind of laying the way that everything is working out right now. But they have not gone to single elimination yet. So today at 9:30 this morning, although there's a 100% chance of rain at 9:30 this morning in Hoover, Alabama, it'll be 3-seed A&M versus 2-seed A&M versus 7-seed Florida. And then Tennessee is set to take on Vanderbilt after that. Do we get four games in today?
So yesterday during our Wednesday, John Wilkerson kind of clued everybody in on how they're going to potentially handle things down in Hoover. I didn't know this, boys, and maybe you guys, you know, maybe it just skipped your brain yesterday. They have an identical stadium on the grounds there in Hoover. So they have the main stadium. They have an identical layout, wall, everything. John believes that they'll never go to a single elimination, that they can today play multiple games on two different stadiums on site. And he reminded everybody yesterday in our Wednesday, this isn't uncommon. Back in the 80s, they used to play doubleheaders all the time. So if anybody's worried about, man, are they going to have to fit so many games in? They have no problem, you know, rolling it back 20, 25 years, playing multiple games. This will be a double elimination, even if they get to put multiple teams on multiple fields at multiple times.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes today. Yeah. Again, in the afternoon, the rain is supposed to taper off so that we should get some baseball played there. To the NBA, Celtics top the Heat 93-80.
Cash it.
Take a 3-2 series lead there. Man, another rough night for Jimmy Butler. 13 points on 4 of 18 shooting, 1 of 5 beyond the arc. No one really played particularly well last night, not named Jaylen Brown. He was about to go. He and Al Horford, the only two people that played well last night. But Jason Tatum does have 22, Jaylen Brown 25-4. Celtics take a 3-2 series lead. Is this going to be it for Miami?
Yes.
You think so?
Yep. Go back to Boston, finish the job. We are, 48 hours away from talking about a Golden State-Boston NBA Finals? Brown last night, just horrid first half. And then what does he end up doing? 19.0 turnovers in the second half.
How about 3 points combined for Kyle Lowry on 1 of 12 shooting the last two games?
What is it with this series? Yeah. Low scoring and nobody wants to grab the game by the throat. It's like something has to occur, it seems, in the final minutes, or something happens at least early in the third quarter that makes the game uninteresting. Like last night, you're a Celtics fan. Maybe you're always plugged into the wall. But even last night, the only reason why I didn't flip the channel is because I was money invested.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was really, really ugly. Yeah. I think we had 25 points scored between the two teams with 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
And thank goodness last night Boston took care of their business, because if you were tuned into what happened last night in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, heartbreak in Denver last night. Avalanche take a 3-0 lead going into the third period. Excuse me, a 3-1 lead going into the third period. And what do they end up doing? Giving up 3 goals. One in the final minute to tie the game. They get sent to overtime. The Lou, hold the note, if you will. They take a 5-4 win away from Colorado. Hat trick scored in the game. This was one of the most back and forth, mind-blowing games I've seen in some time. Will, all of a sudden now we have a series between Colorado and St. Louis.
So here's the thing. I watched Pittsburgh do this over and over again, mm-hmm, in that series with New York. Why in the world are teams just decided we're going to call off the dogs in hockey, especially in hockey without open ice checking these days?
Horrible idea.
It's failed every time that I've seen someone try to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it fells last night for the Colorado Avalanche. 3-2 series lead. The Blues have a chance to make this happen, or is this just a foregone conclusion?
It's a foregone conclusion, but if Darcy Kuemper doesn't get his head out of his rear end in the third period, as you already pointed out, Nate McKinnon can't keep scoring hat tricks and bailing his team out. This was a one-man show last night, and St. Louis took over late.
All right, to baseball, Braves beat the Phillies 8-4 last night. It was the Astros over the Guardians 2-1. Yankees stopped the Orioles 2-0 as well, and the Reds beat the Cubs 4-3. So Braves get it going. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Good piece on ESPN. Is a time to panic if you're a Braves fan. And statistically, this would be a time to panic, right, coming off of a World Series. However, kind of the way they get the advanced analytics guys threw it out, because the Braves have had pretty much the same winning percentage every single year, it's not like they've had ebbs and flows. So I think the expectation is they have the same winning percentage. It's just, what do they do in the postseason?
It's all the same article. To me, as long as you have a Ronald Acuna in the middle of that lineup, as long as you have a Matt Olson, you have players that can set the table and protect others in the lineup. That's what made it so important for Atlanta to be able to go out there and make a trade for Matt Olson as late as they did, when they knew they weren't going to re-up with Freddie Freeman. As long as you have protection in that lineup, as long as you can find a way to make sure the hittable pitches are being seen by the likes of Albies, Acuna, or Olson, the Atlanta Braves are going to be fine. Will West Real Estate's one of the biggest investments you're ever going to make, so don't just trust it with anybody. Trust a company with your best interest at heart. That's our friends at Heritage Realty.
That's right. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, bringing together buyers and sellers in East Tennessee. Amazing when it comes to property management. That is Heritage Realty. All it's right. Matt Olson. Is that already a bad situation?
No.
Was that a bad decision to let Freddie walk batting 299 right now? Matt Olson's batting 244.
All right, so we're living in the right now, here and there moment.
I'm just saying, like, when you look at it, do you have questions? I guess is the way I should put
it. I'd rather
this.
Have Freddie Freeman, a former MVP, than Matt Olson. But I think when it comes to length of contract,
but 4 years from now, what is the difference there, right?
Right. You bought this house, but you're going to make your own improvements when he gets comfortable being back on the East Coast. And I think it's going to be an advantage Atlanta. You know, you look at what they gave up as well. You know, you go back and look at help me, Kaner, who's the outfield. Christian Pache isn't out there really doing he's played an amazing outfield for Oakland thus far, but his bat hasn't really come around. So, I mean, say what you will, who gave up what, who's doing what, and how things are being handled. Can I say check in with me later after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I'll agree. Let's see where we're at in August, September, whether Olson is a legitimate replacement for Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. If Freddie was in this lineup hitting third right now, or hitting second or third right now for the Braves, the record would be no different. Atlanta just sucks right now.
Yeah.
And just no one can hit. I mean, even if Freddie was in there hitting 300, everybody else is hitting 225. So it just kind of is what it is right now.
I'm so glad Kaner turned his microphone on, because he actually had the last word yesterday on a Wednesday program. We called him Gambling Kaner yesterday, because what did he say to us as we said goodbye? Hit the over. He was pounding that drum yesterday as we were saying bye-bye. Kaner, get an update for us. Let's come back. Tennessee has their win totals released from our friends over at Bet Online, and Kaner wants to hand you drumsticks so you can bang the over. We explain more next on The Starting Lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
Rain has made its presence known at the SEC tournament in Hoover this week, with two more postponements on Wednesday. Tennessee and Vanderbilt will be the second game of the day today. It'll follow 30 minutes after Florida and Texas A&M at 10:30 Eastern time. Only two games went final yesterday, as Kentucky down Auburn 3-1 and Alabama topped Arkansas 4-3. NBA playoffs, the Celtics won on the road last night to take a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals, 93-80 the final score. Jason Tatum led the way with 22 points. And on the diamond, the Braves doubled up the Phillies 8-4, the Reds got by the Cubs 4-3, the Yankees shut out the Orioles 2-0, and the Nationals blanked the Dodgers 1-0. It's 6-10. Win totals for college football in the SEC and Tennessee, what are they? We'll discuss when TSL returns. Good morning, I'm Eric Kane.
All right, boys, can you hear the excitement? Rubbing those hands together. That's called friction. Win totals in college football. Roll it out on a silver platter and let's eat. 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good morning to you here from the Budweiser Studios. Tyler Ivins, Will West, Eric Kane through the glass. Guys, Kaner, come on in here. You're the one over here. You're the lead drummer in the back. You were just pounding away at what we were chatting about yesterday as we said goodbye. Tennessee football, another win total coming out. It seems 7.5, 8 seems to be the sexy number. The question is, which way are you leaning, where the juice is? You do your own research. You do your own window shopping. Will West, BetOnline is a popular market. It's a popular window. I shop there often when I wink, wink, do my shopping. Future bets on Tennessee win totals at 7.5 right now for BetOnline. Oh, my man, that is juicy with a W's.
7.5. That's a full game lower than what FanDuel has it at. So FanDuel has it at 8.5. BetOnline has it at 7.5. Does that feel like pound that over? Just destroy that over. Just jump on top of this table we're sitting at right now, this desk, and just drop elbow drops from Macho Man Randy Savage style on top of this this over.
Kaner, you want to speak for both of us here? 7.5 right now with this Tennessee team that's going to be opening things up with Ball State in 98 days?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is such an easy, easy over. And again, that doesn't mean Tennessee's going to win 10 games. I think Tennessee can win 9 games. I think Tennessee, without a doubt, I think the floor is 8 games, right? 8 wins, excuse me, for Tennessee, because you're playing a better brand of football. You have less toss-up games, if you will, this year. But, I mean, I do believe Tennessee's going to win more of those quote-unquote toss-up games. Like, I believe Tennessee will beat Florida this year. I believe Tennessee will beat Pittsburgh this year because Tennessee's roster is just better than Pittsburgh's roster at this point in their, I guess, they're not their rebuilds, but you know what they're throwing out there in 2022.
So let's just go ahead and just say right now, is there anybody in this room through the glass who does not believe Tennessee's going to go 4-0 in non-conference?
There's no reason to pick that that's going to be the case.
Tennessee beats Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, I believe. I think they go 4-0 non-conference.
I think they go 4-0 in non-conference.
Anybody here on Kentucky?
See, that's tough because, again, Kentucky's a good ball club.
Okay, fine. Anybody here, South Carolina?
No, Tennessee beat South Carolina.
Anybody here, Missouri?
No, the thing they're saying, I think, BetOnline is Tennessee's going to lose one of Pittsburgh, Kentucky, and they're going to lose both of LSU and Florida, and they're going to lose one of Pittsburgh, Kentucky, South Carolina, right? That's what they're saying here.
Georgia, Bama, that's two.
Yep. If you lose LSU,
and you lose one of LSU, Florida.
You lose
three.
Both of LSU and Florida, that's four. That's 8-4.
Kentucky.
And then you lose one of Pittsburgh, South Carolina, Kentucky.
That's your swing game.
Yeah.
I don't think they lose Carolina. I don't think they lose Pittsburgh. So now this is the conversation come down to Florida, LSU, Kentucky?
Yeah, that's what they're saying here. That's what their guess is.
That's what you believe that's the guess
here. Yes, that's the guess here. Is they're going to lose one of those three games. That's what they have it at 7.5. Or at least
I look at 8-4 and I don't blink twice.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
No.
Completely agree. Now, if you look at BetOnline, though, if you look at their full win totals for everybody in the SEC, you have Bama at 10.5. Kill the over, right, on Bama at 10.5. Florida at 6.5. Georgia at 10.5. Kentucky at 7.5. LSU at 6.5. Mississippi State at 6.5. So they pretty much have everybody low is kind of what they have for the SEC. So do they think it's a bad out of conference year? Or in looking at it, you've got Arkansas at 7.5, Florida at 6.5, Auburn at 5.5, Kentucky 7.5, LSU 6.5, Mississippi State 6.5, Missouri 5.5, Ole Miss 7.5, South Carolina 6.5. They think that the middle of the SEC is going to cannibalize itself.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying.
And everybody's going to be 7-5.
So I ask you right now, if I told you LSU, Florida, Kentucky.
I think there's a lot of value. I've been gracious. I think there's a lot of value bet in the SEC win totals here.
Am I crazy to think that Kentucky is going to be a tougher contest this year for Tennessee than LSU?
Call
me crazy. Go ahead.
No. I think it won't be. The reason why, like, Stoops wants to do, what Heupel does, fits. He's going to have to change yet again 2 years in a row.
Mark Stoops
says, change everything he does for one game. And he did it last year and it almost worked out.
Yeah.
But Tennessee should be better, and Kentucky should take a step back.
Nice little gamble for Heupel there at the end of the halftime to get that field goal in. Yep. Ended up being the difference. Kaner, you nod your head right now. LSU, Kentucky, am I a little nuts here? Am I stirring the pot? Or if I asked you right now, if it comes down to three games, if it comes down to LSU, Kentucky, Florida, is that the order? Right now, would you say LSU is still more of a concern or a higher priority game of winning over Kentucky?
I think
Kentucky?
So, because it just smells like it's going to be, obviously it's on the road, it's going to be a night game. I mean, I feel like the environment, I feel like the talent that's on that roster.
Brian Kelly's a good coach.
LSU, yeah, he is. And LSU can just find a way to win that football game, in my opinion. So that's kind of how I'd rank him as well. I mean, Kentucky's going to be at home, which I think will help. And I agree with what Will said, because I said the same thing the entire week leading into the Kentucky game. And then Will Levis threw it 30 times in the first half. But Kentucky just
future
all the
top five pick, Will Levis, Kaner, yeah. Come on.
I mean, Kentucky just all the way around, just a solid, solid football team. Their drop-off is not that significant. They lost a couple offensive linemen, sure, but
they're a line of scrimmage team and always have been. So I think that they're going to be a team that's, you know, right there with Tennessee, continuing to try to knock off Georgia for the East.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong here that, like, you put a unit, like, especially if you're somebody that keeps your units the same, you put a unit on Alabama over the 10.5.
That's a smart investor, by the way.
You put a unit over Georgia 10.5. You put a unit on LSU over 6.5. You put a unit on Mississippi State over 6.5. You put a unit on Tennessee over 7.5. And I mean, I feel like of those five, you're winning four. I think I feel very, very good about that.
So, boys, should we go ahead and just start hammering this? We already have a big investment. Remember, plus 8,000 on Hendon to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
Should we go ahead and just take some of this money and then put it on the over 7.5?
I think, again, if you're somebody that uses BetUS, there's just a lot of value for the SEC because they're banking on the middle of the SEC to cannibalize itself.
Yeah, they are.
Could it happen? Yeah. Is it the most likely scenario? That's just not usually the way it works out, that it cannibalizes itself to this extent, where there's only a game separating South Carolina and Kentucky, and there are three teams in that are kind of in a logjam for second in the East.
This is not an endorsement. I repeat, this is not an endorsement. BetOnline always has the juiciest numbers.
Do they?
And this is good.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying there's five.
You just said yourself 7.5 for BetOnline, and yeah. Who has Tennessee at 8.5?
FanDuel and WinBet.
I don't know. One full game, you tell me, boys.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'll spend some wink-wink international coin to be able to get into that window anytime.
But again, I just think there's a lot of opportunity.
There's a lot of opportunity.
Like those five I just laid out to you. I think you're winning four. And so you're 4-1 on those five.
Give them to me one more time.
Alabama over the 10.5.
Okay.
Kentucky over the 7.5. Tennessee yes. over the 7.5.
Yes.
Mississippi State over the 6.5. LSU over the 6.5.
Kaner,
I'll give you Georgia over 10.5 too.
Kaner, what stinks there?
Georgia one potentially because they open up with Oregon, and then of course you know they've got the teams in the SEC. I don't know if I'll take Mississippi State, but the others I do like. So three of the five is what I like there.
I don't think that – I just look at Mississippi State this year, and I just think that they were 7-5 last year, going 7-5 this year.
Kaner, you really think Oregon's got something for them? You think Dan Lanning's going to come back against his team and just show him something?
I mean,
you're right. There's something there. I just don't think Oregon hangs a Georgia in the
yeah,
opener.
Yeah, Oregon's got the players.
Georgia's going to take a step back, obviously, this year. They're not winning a national championship, and I think they can lose two games.
I just think that I look at the SEC.
You lost a lot of talent.
They did, but everybody there's not like this year. Tennessee's going to take a step. I don't think they're taking that step. I think Florida's taking a step back.
Florida's staying about the same because they were so bad last year.
They won't quit. That's the one thing that I look at with Florida is they won't quit.
Because I mean they're starting from the bottom in the rebuild and everything. I mean I don't think Tennessee or Kentucky's going to win the East this year. I hear you there, but
more likely to win 6.5 games this year. Mississippi State, Florida.
I think Mississippi State.
Kaner, you got that grin.
Probably Florida.
Dude, put your Will Rogers for president shirt on.
I love Will Rogers, but that team sucks.
I think Florida's losing their first two. They're losing their first two games. They're losing to Utah and Kentucky. I think Florida's going to be 1-3 by the time
Utah
we finish
game,
September.
Site we're at.
I don't remember where it's at, but it's one of those games that
Kyle Whittingham actually handing Billy Napier.
That one is at Florida.
Whoa, they got home and home here.
Yeah,
they go Salt Lake, Gainesville, eh?
But I think they lose that game. They lose to Kentucky the next week. They beat USF. They lose to Tennessee at the end of September. And I think you're looking at a 1-3 season. And let's see how you hold all that together. Whereas Mississippi State's beaten Memphis this year. They're going to win at Arizona. They're going to lose at LSU. And so I just think all they have to do is win one of. Now, the one thing they get this year is they play Georgia as well out of the East.
Mm-hmm. Will
so
says Mississippi
Georgia
State's
and Kentucky.
Mississippi State's actually going to beat Memphis this year because officials know how to call a game whenever a game.
I mean, that's another thing I look at is they got literally a game stolen from where they're 8-4 last year.
They'll
right?
lose both of those games in the East so this year with Kentucky and Georgia.
I could see that.
This is MSU.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
I just think they're 7-5. I don't think they're a ton better, but I think they're 7-5 this year.
I like Will Rogers. Y'all know this. I just think all the way around, I just think that team's not very talented.
Eric Kane, big fan of Will Levis, huge fan of Will Rogers.
Big Will Levis
big
guy.
Big Will Levis guy.
He's actually a big Will guy all around. So if your name is Will, there's a good chance Eric Kane's probably a big fan of yours. Debatable. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. He's shown how much he loves Will this week with his rulings here and five burning questions, but I digress.
He's earned it.
It's America, Ivans. It's America.
But I mean, hey, put in the work, Tyler. Come back to work. Yeah, put it in.
I went back and listened to the film yesterday.
Okay.
And somebody said that the upside down Capri Sun was strong, but it didn't get me the W.
It was very strong. I got to say, it was strong.
Hey, boys, what's happening in Hoover, Alabama, besides rain falling right now? And when will Tennessee baseball reach the diamond? A little clue in yesterday from John Wilkerson, too. A little nugget you might want to share with you coming up next, too. How will Tennessee and the SEC actually fare when it comes to getting games in Hoover during the tournament? 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. All right, boys, let's head down to Hoover, Alabama, shall we? What if I told you on Wednesday that we're only going to get two games in? Are you guys actually surprised that they only got 18 innings of baseball in yesterday? Kentucky, the 12-5 upset over Auburn, 3-1. Don't look now. 11-seeded Bama wins back-to-back days. They win a close one over 3-seeded Arkansas, 4-3. What's going on right now? It seems like right now things are drunk and wet down in Hoover. Upsets are happening, Will. Games are getting in. Potentially today, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 in Hoover, they're going to try to get 2-seeded A&M. And 7-seeded Florida. Boys, what's happening right now besides rain, storms, and all that other noise? Precipitation is what's happening right now in Hoover, Alabama.
Yeah, so, looking at this, and again, they've done a really nice job, Vince has, of keeping our social media updated now, and just to kind of give you the full overview of what's going on in Hoover, Alabama.
Right.
Right now, though, Tennessee is set to play second today. 100% chance of rain, though, at 9:30 local time when Texas A&M and Florida start playing. So we'll see how that works. It does look like around 1 o'clock today, things are supposed to start tapering off. So can they get everything in? That's going to be the big question, is what can they get in and what can't they get in? You said, talking to John Wilkerson yesterday.
John said yesterday they have a duplicate stadium on site there at Hoover Met. So if it gets to a point in time where games get so backlogged, and I think it's pretty safe to say now that we're on Thursday and we have three games that didn't get in from the Wednesday schedule, we've probably officially reached backlog. But what they can do, Will, is that they have multiple stadiums on site and they can play multiple games at the same time to get caught up from these earlier rainouts, and that going to a single elimination, just it's not going to happen. You know, and John also pointed out the fact that, you know, look, we're not that far removed, you know, a decade or two from when they used to play doubleheaders throughout the day to be able to get all these games in. So we were talking yesterday, what are the potentials that Tennessee perhaps maybe sees things get mixed up their odds-wise because of a single elimination? Well, I think once the rain clears out, because it starts becoming a little bit more beautiful and doable after lunchtime today, I think not only do you see these grounds get drained, but I think you see multiple games played on multiple stadiums on site in Hoover, and I think we get caught up for the weekend.
Yeah, so I will say it does look like that since 4 a.m. or so, the hourly's changed for the National Weather Service. So it's a 50% or better chance of rain between now and 3 o'clock.
Nice.
So, and then after that, it looks like that's when they have a 40% chance at 3, 17% chance at 4. So... but it's thunderstorms, so can they work something in, stop playing, work something in, stop playing this morning? It'll be interesting to see. Can they get, I mean, you've got to get four in today, right? If you want to go double elimination, you have to be able to get four in one way or the other.
You must get A&M Florida, Tennessee Vandy, Kentucky LSU, and one of those one-loss teams have got to play again today.
I was going to say Tennessee's yet to play, LSU has yet to play. Those two teams have got to play without a doubt today, but I mean... Like Will was saying, I mean, I've got the National Weather app right here as well. You got thunderstorms, over 60% from 8 all the way to 1. And a couple of those hours, you have 100%. So
yeah,
you're not getting four in.
Again, no, I agree.
You're not getting four games in, and it's unfortunate
because... Even if you can find that window where you can put multiple teams on multiple fields.
I mean, if that's a thing, then that's great. I've never heard of that, and I'm not discrediting John because obviously he knows what he's talking about. Do we know where that field is? I have no clue.
Again, this was brought to my knowledge for the first time
yesterday. Really, if you've ever been there, it's a really, really, really big...
complex?
Complex, it is, yes. I'll be real, I've never seen the stadium, but it doesn't mean that they don't... I would buy that.
I mean, I guess if they find those windows to where one field is playable, then the other field should be playable as well. So, but I mean...
Yeah, one thing's for dang sure, the grounds crew down in Hoover's got the work cut out for them.
They're not getting paid enough this week.
Yeah.
That is for sure. It's just, I mean, the weather's been a disaster for any type of tournament. I mean, I feel bad for the game ops people down there and everything, because
It just kind of is what it is. And plus, some of these teams are playing trying to earn a regional berth.
That they are. So let me ask you this, boys. Yesterday, the two games that did get played, you had the lower seed win. You had 12 seed Kentucky over Auburn. 11 seed Bama's now won back-to-back games. They've beat Georgia and now Arkansas. Is this what we're in store for when this tournament actually does get up and running? Are we just going to see chaos and upsets now throughout now and Sunday? And if that's the case, if you're Tennessee right now, I'd watch my back. Is it more? Are we more focused on just getting games in, or is there also a storyline behind the fact that Tennessee, they might want to watch out because lower seeds are coming up and knocking teams off that are, again, Kaner, as you pointed out, fighting for regionals.
Yeah, we mentioned it, though, that I do think that there is anytime you have variables like this, it hurts the favorite team, right? Yep. And so I do think that this is disadvantage Tennessee, but it's going to be a disadvantage to everybody that's a favorite here. Because if you just went and played it without thinking about it, I do think that they would win. That Tennessee would, I'd feel very comfortable saying they run roughshod through this.
Right.
How important is this? Like how important is the winning the SEC tournament right now?
It's not.
Not at all. If you're not a fan, it'd be nice because you get a new t-shirt. Well,
you haven't done it since 1995 either.
What's the equivalent of Tennessee basketball this year, who hadn't won since 79, their conference tournament, but so many people were already thinking ahead to Sweet 16, Elite Eight. If you're Tennessee baseball right now, I'm thinking about regionals and super regionals.
So does conference just not matter?
Conference tournaments, in my opinion, do not matter. And especially in basketball, like we saw, nothing mattered that weekend. Tennessee, elsewhere. I mean, Tennessee had...
They already had Kentucky there. The mind made up on Kentucky.
Tennessee had a resume as a 2-seed no matter what. And Tennessee was a 3-seed. At the end of the day, that's not the end of the world. But like, it just goes to show you that's one big-time example on just showing you conference tournaments don't matter at all.
Well, I think they matter. They just don't matter for how your performance is going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Bingo.
But it's not
seeding, in my opinion. Unless you win the tournament,
but it's
not
nothing to win your conference. Right? Winning your conference means something.
I mean, from a team
accomplishment standpoint.
Sure, yeah, but I mean,
sweet, you get a ring.
I guess what I'm talking about is just in terms of seeding, and I mean, to me, Tennessee can go there and lose two games this year or two games in a row in Hoover, and I'm not thinking anything about it heading into regionals.
So I'll just ask: Not that they should tap out, but is it this just about setting? If you're Tony Vitello and you see all the chaos going on there with the weather. Do you look at this and just say, I'm setting myself up for the regionals and super regionals, I don't really care about this?
This is me setting my rotation for the regionals.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I mean, I think that was the plan the entire time all along, right? I think you go to Chase Dolander and you say, hey, what day do you want to pitch to be ready?
Yeah.
You know, but that's tricky too because Tennessee doesn't know if it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday for regional because they can start on both days. But you just got to make sure all three of your guys or all four of your guys have enough rest and are ready to roll, and then like we talked about yesterday, just trying to get in as many arms as you can to get some work in. But I think that was the plan all the way along is trying to make your pitching line up and not do anything that's going to hurt you for next weekend.
Again, so you're not really all in on the SEC tournament. You're all in on setting yourself up for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Because you have larger fish to fry. I will say
100%.
I understand the thought process. That's not very Cobra Kai dojo though, right? Like that's... I always wonder about teams because over and over and over again, you see teams that think I'm going to turn it on and turn it off whenever I want to instead of trying to win every game.
That doesn't mean Tennessee's not going to play hard. That doesn't mean Tennessee's not going to run out there with this normal lineup. I mean, you're playing to win the games, but like, I guess what I'm trying to say at the end of the day, if Tennessee does not win this tournament, it doesn't matter. No one should freak out about it. Like, who cares?
No, it's not fire everybody, but I think you'd like to win this thing. Again, 1995 is a long time ago.
This is where I'm at. Tennessee is just like, can we get on the field already?
Yeah.
If Tennessee beats Vandy today, then they catch themselves. Maybe let's say we assume LSU. Let's say the chalk starts occurring. Tennessee wins a game or two here. Then all of a sudden it's, all right, we're here. Let's go win the damn thing. You know what I mean? Like now, right now, it's kind of like, all right, let's focus on regionals. Tennessee gets a game or two in, and those bats start clicking, and the arms start finding the strike zone. Then you start like, all right, let's get to Sunday and win this, and we'll deal with next week.
I don't think Eric's argument's unfair, though, because the point of view of you can't winning the SEC tournament does not do anything to set yourself up for success for the regionals or super regionals.
Right.
But if you play the SEC tournament wrong, it could set you up for failure for the regionals and super regionals.
I would say that there is a
misunderstanding
lot of
your
risk
argument.
And little reward.
But no, you're not misunderstanding. But I want to make sure that you guys know, like Tony Vitello. Nor do I expect him. They're not going to go out there and play backups and not pitch their guy. I mean, everybody that plays is going to play, and they're going to play to win the game. So it's not like they're not trying. I'm just saying, maybe from a fan's perspective, I would look at it like, who cares?
Don't be invested in this.
Yeah, no, because again, it means.
I know what you mean. If Tennessee was to lose Sunday to say Arkansas, yeah, like, they're going to get their panties in a wad because they lost to Arkansas. But the 1,000-foot view needs to be regionals, college World Series, Super Rally.
I do not believe that they're going to try to lose these games whatsoever. They're going to play their guys every single game. It does nothing whatsoever for you to win this tournament or to lose the next two games and go home. You're hosting a regional. You're going to be the number one overall seed. You're the best team in the country. It doesn't matter.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Kaner update. Let's get Love It or Leave It in here. We'll wrap up hour number one of your Thursday starting lineup. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Speaking of the SEC tournament, rain has been a big, big-time factor so far this week. Only two finals yesterday. It was Kentucky that was over Auburn 3-1. Alabama topped Arkansas 4-3. Today, they hope to get in four games. Tennessee and Vanderbilt set to be the second game played, 30 minutes following Florida and Texas A&M that's set to begin at 10:30 Eastern time. NBA playoffs. The Celtics won on the road last night to take a 3-2 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals, 93-80 the final. Jason Tatum scored 22 points in the win. And on the ice, the Blues outlasted the Avalanche 5-4 in overtime, but still trailed in the series 3-2. It's 6:44, Love It or Leave It. Coming up next here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
How would you like to score $25 from our friends at Buddy's Barbecue, as well as four tickets to the 2022 99.1 The Sports Animal Sports Fest June 4th? That coming up during the game. We're going to spin the wheel just a little over an hour away. Tyler Ivins, Will West. Hey, Kaner, you got a big red button in front of you. This is Love It or Leave It for your Thursday morning TSL.
Chaos ensued in both scheduling and the results of the 2022 SEC Baseball Tournament through the first 2 days. Love or Leave It, the upsets will continue this morning between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I guess it'd be early afternoon with Florida and A&M getting off first, but I know what you're saying.
Maybe even late afternoon way that it's all looking.
Maybe chaos. This evening.
Chaos.
Could be Friday.
Tennessee ain't losing to Vandy today when they do play, right? I'm gonna leave this. I think Tennessee knocks off Vanderbilt today. I get what people are saying. Arkansas, they fell to Alabama yesterday. Auburn, the higher seed, loses to Kentucky. Well, this isn't going to continue on to Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. There's no reason for me quantifiably to pick Vanderbilt to win this game. So at the end of the day, could it happen because, you know, schedule changes and things like that? And sometimes that's just baseball. Yes, I can't pick that. I'll leave this.
CBS Sports provided outlooks for the new coaching hires in the college football and listed Brian Kelly as the coach with the shortest leash among the new hires. Love or leave it, out of the dozen-plus hires, the LSU coach must produce immediately.
I leave this.
Shortish leash is Brian Kelly?
I don't know what they're talking about or looking at that would make them say that's
Brent
the
Venables.
Case.
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, Brent Venables is the guy that I look at that I think has the shortest leash.
Me too.
If he walks out there and it's 8-4 this year, that's gonna get a little ugly. So I think that is absolutely positively dead wrong. It's not even a matter I just disagree with them. I think it's dead wrong.
Leave it. It's Brent Venables. He's defensive minded. That's great. But if those offensive numbers don't continue and produce to the Big 12 level.
And I think they will. They brought in Levy, right? Or Levy.
To Will's point, they start 9-3, 8-4. Venables' seat is boiling hot.
Yep.
It's not Brian Kelly, it's Brian Venables. Leave this.
Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't taken a snap since 2017, worked out for the Raiders on Wednesday. Love or leave it, the 34-year-old signing with Vegas and returning to the NFL.
Just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
I'm shocked that he's only 34, to be honest. I feel like he's been gone for a decade.
Yeah, look, Josh McDaniels was there. The ownership was there. You had front office there looking at the workouts yesterday. I like that they're going out there trying to see if Kaepernick can give them something behind Derek Carr. I just don't believe that the 34-year-old can give it. I just don't know. He was already struggling at the time back in 2017. And now that you fast forward five plus years later, to me, boys, I just think this is going to be difficult for him to be able to obtain a roster spot with the Raiders. I leave this.
Yeah, look, I leave this as well. He was borderline. It was a borderline starter to begin with. He was like the 21st best quarterback 5 years ago.
And he was not a starter at the end of his career.
That's what I'm saying. So now, however, a lot of that's because he didn't try. You know what I mean? Like that. A lot of that's because this is not where his focus was. So if that's where his focus is, could he get back to being a backup quarterback? Maybe, because I think he could have been a franchise quarterback. Because even like his best friends that did interviews that were on the team said, Cap just needs to learn the playbook. If he'll just learn the playbook, he'll be okay. So if he's grown up and he's putting a little more effort in, could he be a backup? Maybe, but I'm going to leave this. We've never seen anybody be out of the league for that long and come back and play.
Yeah, it just amazes me that like, people think that this can be a thing or this is a story just, again, because he's been away for for almost 6 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no chance. This is the National Football League. No chance.
Yeah, but I will say it's worth working him out.
Of course.
To see if he can play, right? Especially if you get a dirt cheap backup that people will buy his jersey and you make money off of it.
Lamar Jackson remains absent from the Ravens OTAs this week as the former MVP is in the final year of his rookie deal. Love or leave it, the Baltimore quarterback will be the next player to receive a long-term deal.
I love this. They've got to do it. They don't have a choice but to do it. So what are you going to do? Let him walk? No, you're not going to do that. There's a lot of people who think, now we've heard this for 3 years. A lot of people think there's going to be a $50 million addition to the salary cap or $45 million addition to the salary cap this offseason. That happens, Lamar Jackson will get his.
The choices were either Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, or Deebo Samuel, who's going to get a next big deal.
I think it's Lamar.
And I think now it is Lamar because he's officially holding out.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and his mother's his agent, him and his mother work closely together. And look, and Lamar Jackson says he doesn't want to make this media. He doesn't want to make this public. He doesn't want to make it messy. Well, unfortunately, it's now reached to the public, and it's, I wouldn't say messy status, but it's reached the what's curiosity kills the cat status. Baltimore wants to get this done. I know Lamar Jackson wants to get this done. Love this. Yes, we'll know in the next 7 to 10 days that Lamar Jackson is on the verge of signing a massive extension.
And the New York Daily News reported Wednesday that the Nets will not be giving a long-term extension to Kyrie Irving ahead of the player option deadline for 2022. Love or leave it, Kyrie opts out and Brooklyn losing the point guard.
All right. So by the end of the NBA Finals, Will, Kyrie Irving has to determine whether or not he's opting in for the 2022-23 season. And the Nets are now not going to give him a long-term deal.
Of course they're not, yeah.
He can opt out and be an unrestricted free agent and the Nets lose him and get nothing in return. How does this play out? Because to me, I think Kyrie does opt in because he doesn't want to lose $30-some-odd million dollars next year. But I think this becomes super messy during the season, and Brooklyn really regrets having him and Kevin Durant on the same roster.
I think that...
Is he going to opt out and be a free agent?
I think he opts out. I think he goes to L.A.
Wow.
I think he goes to L.A. I think he needs Big Brother there to make sure that he actually shows up. And I think for LeBron, he will show up. I don't think he'll show up for any other team ever. And so, because I don't think he wants to play basketball. But he's 30 years of age, so...
If you're Brooklyn, you're just going to let this guy walk for nothing?
Yeah, absolutely. Get out of here. As a Celtics fan,
no
get out of here.
No compensation, no trade picks, well, nothing.
There's nothing you can do, though, with that, right? So just let him walk. I don't want to take the chance. What am I going to get for him? I mean, what would you give up for him? I'm not giving anything up for him, right?
I mean
there are
future
people,
consideration, but not a one or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are stupid people out there that run NBA franchises, so maybe you could get something, but I'm not rolling the dice on that, and then I'm stuck with Kyrie, and I've got to deal with the circus for a whole nother year. Because that guy likes attention more than he likes playing basketball.
New Balance Knoxville. Doesn't matter if you got the warm weather gear, the cool weather gear. Will, if it's hot, if it's wet, if it's cold, they've got everything from toe to shoulders. That's at New Balance Knoxville.
That's right. New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center. So many great made in the USA products. Wide sizes, extra wide sizes. They have them. You know, the styles and colorways they have for summer is New Balance Knoxville.
All right. So with the chaos and the mess that continues to be just a pile on. It's bad right now in Hoover when it comes to weather and the scheduling. What you need to know about when Tennessee will finally get on the diamond and play baseball in Hoover, we'll tell you next. The Morning Buzz on the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.